My first day in St. Louis was actually for a meeting with folks from the Mountain Sky Conference. Before the big meeting with everyone from around the world, we had a meeting with folks from our neck of the woods. We all flew in a day early to connect and plan and prepare together. The pastors and the lay people from Colorado and Wyoming and Utah and Montana gathered at Centenary United Methodist Church, the oldest reconciling United Methodist Church in Missouri. Their pastor greeted us, and in her spiel about their church and its history, she mentioned that, of all things, in their building was interred the remains of the first Methodist pastor to do ministry west of the Mississippi. Well, I started to chuckle. He didn't make it very far. I laughed out loud. You see, Centenary UMC is 6 blocks to the west of the Mississippi River. Well, this last week, the United Methodist Church gathered in St. Louis to discern together a way forward as a more inclusive and welcoming denomination. We didn't make it very far. My hotel room actually had a beautiful view of the arch and of the river. See, much like we use the mountains to identify directions here in Denver, St. Louis uses the Mississippi River to orient themselves for direction. And today, as I don't know which end is up for this denomination that I have been called to serve, I am looking to orient myself. And I want to let you know I have found a sense of direction with the rivers in our scripture. The United Methodist Church had a chance to become more welcoming. Amidst all of the things that were before this decision-making body, the simple plan would have removed all discriminatory language from the Book of Discipline, our rule book as a church. And there was also the one church plan that would have allowed different places to make different decisions because we're different people in different places. And at least it would have been a step toward full inclusion. And I went to General Conference with great hope that we could make this happen. But that hope died when in one of the very first votes we saw what would become a very familiar, repeated refrain in the voting answers. 55% to 45% against inclusion. You see, though 2/3 of the United States delegates supported inclusion, the global nature of our church outweighed that fact. Now, I invite you to join us on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock if you would like to know more about the details of the process and the results. There was a lot happening, and I'd like to unpack it a little bit for you. Ashley and I each had very unique experiences and can offer you insight into what happened in that space to the people who were there. But all of the statistics and all of the context in the world doesn't change the feelings that I carry in my heart. My emotions cannot be rationalized away by thinking through what happened, because I am heartbroken. And when I find myself in sadness and despair, I turn to the laments of the Psalms. Our Psalms are beautiful and carry so much wisdom within them. And some of the most beautiful wisdom is simply the sharing of sadness. And in one of those psalms of lament, I found a river. Alongside Babylon's streams, there we sat down crying because we remembered Zion. We hung our harps in the trees there because our captors were asking us to sing. Our tormentors requested songs of joy. Oh, sing us one of those songs of Zion, they said. But how? How could we possibly sing the Lord's song in a foreign place? Jerusalem, if I forget you, let my strong hand wither. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I don't remember you, if I don't make Jerusalem my greatest joy. Lord, remember what the Edomites did on Jerusalem's dark day. For they shouted, rip it down, all the way to its foundations. They yelled, O daughter Babylon, you destroyer, a blessing on the one who pays you back the very deed you did to us, a blessing on the one who seizes your children and smashes them against a rock. Here in Psalm 137, we find a poem of lament written while the people of Judah were in exile. The people of Judah had been taken away after the destruction of their temple, the conquering of their lands and people, and carried off to Babylon, where they sat next to a river that was not their own. They sat there and they cried. For their home was God's promise, and it had been taken from them. It had been taken away from them with prejudice. They remembered their captors crying out for their sacred place to be torn to its foundations. I resonate with their anguish. An inclusive, beloved community is God's promise for the church. An inclusive, beloved community is God's promise for our denomination. And when I look at what the 2019 General Conference has done, I see that the United Methodist Church has been taken into exile. The traditionalists, the fundamentalists have carried us away. And much like the psalm, they're still asking us to sing. Oh, we're still the church. All are still welcome, they say in their press releases, in their Facebook posts. But how could we sing such a song? Instead, all I can do is oscillate from sadness to anger, and sadness and anger, and back again. I sit by the river and I cry. I sit by the river wanting to lash out in anger. And I will tell you, most pastors, when they read Psalm 137, skip the last few verses. It is one of the most angry and graphic verses in our scriptures. But we do ourselves a disservice if we ignore anger. Our scriptures don't ignore anger, and God is comfortable listening to our anger when we feel it. God received this prayer of the psalmist just as God receives ours now. Though I do not wish violence upon those who voted differently than me, I do carry some very hard emotions toward them. I mean, how could they? How could they harm our lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer siblings in Christ and call it a way forward? How could they tell the world that this is who the United Methodist Church is? How could they tell the world that this is what Christ is about and that this would be God's will? How could they? How could they exclude and call it love? How could they play victim and say that they don't like it when we call them judgmental? They have carried us away from God's promise and left us in exile. I am angry. The LGBTQ community has once again been hurt, and God has been mocked by their exclusion. The pain is exponential for me when I remember that this pain is not new in the life of the church. Certainly, it is shocking to those of us who have long felt comfortable within the church, who have the privilege of always being welcomed. But for far too many people, for far too long in the church's history, this pain, this disappointment at the failure of the church to be the church is all too familiar. I was reminded this week of how many women, people of color, indigenous people, immigrants, colonized people, how many people have cried these tears of pain and anger and still do. The racism, sexism, patriarchy, and colonialism of the church has never gone away. Far too many people have been exiled from God's welcome. And those suffering oppression at the hands of the church have been crying out alongside these victims of heterosexism. And in this moment of sadness and anger, we are invited to not rush through it. We are invited to sit in the realization and the repentance for all of it. And as hard as it is, As horrible as I feel that I have benefited so much at others' expense, as much as I want to ignore the pain the church has caused other people, we must not. We must cry with. We must cry alongside those the church has exiled and then do our part to carry the church back into the promise of God together. For the rivers of Babylon will not be our new home. They are but a place for us to gather ourselves back together as we pursue another river, a better river. Over and over in my mind, in my inbox, in my text messages, and in my conversations, the constant refrain I keep hearing is, "So what are we going to do?" The first answer is breathe. We are going to breathe. And we are going to be intentional for all that is to come next. The second answer is we will build a home where all belong. Nothing changes our efforts to share the transforming love of God with all people as we work and serve for a better world. We will continue to live out the love, acceptance, justice, and hope of Jesus. We will feed the hungry, we will house the homeless, we will care for children, and we will walk with the oppressed. All the while, we will encourage those called by God to continue pursuing ordained ministry, and we will celebrate marriages for any couple that seeks one, regardless of sex and gender. This is not new. We were already breaking the rules in doing these things, and we will continue to choose relationship over the rules as a way of honoring God. Moving forward, we will work with great intention to guarantee that none of the money you offer here will go to support values that are not in line with this congregation. You see, of every dollar you give for our day-to-day ministry, 87% of it stays right here to make ministry happen. Thank you for that. God is working through you and doing great things. But of every dollar you give, 10% goes to the Mountain Sky Conference to enable ministry and support the connections between the churches in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, Montana, and
one church in Idaho.
And that is an important relationship that is aligned with our vision and values and mission as a church. And we will continue that connection. There's about 2% that goes to the global or general level of the United Methodist Church. And I tell you, the vast majority of that 2% does support amazing ministry that is in line with our values in most ways. But that percentage is our place to make a statement of our values. So I'm working with our leadership. In fact, I've already spoken with our superintendent and with the bishop herself to let them know that we will be reallocating that portion of our connectional giving. We will take that $1,400 a year and split it between specific ministries such as the United Methodist Committee on Relief or the Western Jurisdiction as it seeks to care for people that don't have the same support in other places, international partnerships that we understand will help us grow relationship that makes a difference. We will choose partnerships that reflect who we are. We will not support a system that does not love or fully include all of God's people. And I tell you, such a decision is not made lightly. For the general church does many wonderful things, but a prophetic statement must be made. In fact, such prophetic wisdom can be found in the book of Amos. The prophet reminds us that God desires more than just the trappings of what we think is beautiful in this world. The prophet writes, I reject your festivals. I do not enjoy your joyous assemblies. If you bring me your entirely burned offerings and gifts of food, I will not be pleased. I won't even look at your offerings of these well-fed animals. Take away the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But instead, let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. You see, this is the second river. This is the river that orients our life together as we move forward into whatever God is doing through us. Justice like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. For this is a river of life. These waters, the waters of justice and righteousness, are worthy of our baptism. This is where we will find our journey out of exile and into God's promise. For though the United Methodist Church didn't make it very far in St. Louis, God is at work within and among us. We, the people of Highlands United Methodist Church, have come this far by faith. Faith in a loving and welcoming God, and we will not turn around. We will not be denied or delayed in our pursuit of God's promise. The promise that justice will roll down like waters and righteousness shall be an ever-flowing stream. May it be so. Amen. We need Mary Poppins. I'm grateful this is who we can be as God's people, and I'm also grateful that the calendar has afforded us the beauty of communion this day. So I invite you to take your black hymnal and turn to page 2257 as we share in the promise of God's love for all people made real in our midst. Let us join together now.